FM CHD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Enlightened philosophers tell us that we are divine beings in human form. Let's get real here. How can we live a busy life with a job, kids, and a mortgage and still be spiritual? Join CJ Liu as she tackles real life issues through a spiritual lens and talks with experts in relationships, work, and more. You'll get practical life skills and learn how to touch, feel, and experience a whole new way of living. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com, and call CJ now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Believe.
Welcome back to CBS Sky Radio. This is Fired Up with CJ, and you can find us on fireitupwithcj.com for her website, or if you'd like to follow her on Facebook, you can just search on Fired Up with CJ there also, and you can contact her and see what she's got going on. It's almost the end of October, ladies and gentlemen, and tomorrow is Halloween, and I'm such a big child. Before we came on the air, we were talking about candy, and just so everyone knows, they're saying, I don't know if it's true, the top candy this year is Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, which I'm
okay with.
I know.
Yes.
And then they said Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, M&Ms, of course, Snicker Bars, of course, and Kit Kats.
I love Kit Kats.
That makes sense to me.
I think all of those make sense to me. I would actually only add, and I know it's quirky, and it's probably not the favorite one, but mine is Almond Joy. I love those things.
I like candy. I have to admit, I like candy. I like, you know, the Jawbreakers. I like it all. Even I don't eat the Mary Janes, and I don't know if you know what those are. They're kind of like aren't they like a maple-y type chili candy?
Yeah, they're called bit of honeys.
Yeah.
In the East Coast, they have the equivalent that's called bit of honey, and they're gross. I actually have a whole philosophy based on bit of honey. It's like when you feel like a bit of honey is like one of those things that comes to Halloween and you say, maybe if I try it again, it will be good this year. And it never is. But yeah, it's like that thing that you know that's not good for you, but you always want to try it anyways.
Right.
That's my bit of honey
philosophy. Well, you want to pay homage to it because someone has taken the time to buy that candy. Now, what child wants that? But you know what? If that's what you want to give out, fine. I just think it's the candy that the adult giving it out wants for themselves and not to give it out for the
No
for the
one
kids.
Wants bit of honey or Mary Janes. They're disgusting. Sorry.
I know. So I know. I already got into the candy at home, and I told my husband, I can eat this because I won't be home on Halloween. I have to work. And what I might do, since we're in a neighborhood, maybe if I put a little costume on and just go to a couple houses saying, I work for the radio station. Can I have some candy? Maybe they'll feel sorry for me and give me a few pieces of candy.
You're too funny. Well, this is a perfect time to be talking about our topic here with Sue Frederick because I had talked to someone who was a shaman before, and they said that Halloween is when the veil between the living and dead is the thinnest, which means that lots of cool things can happen soon because it is right around the time when the dead and the living are commingling together. And
I love it.
Even though, and here's the funny thing, I actually had an argument with a friend about death, and we were talking about living and death, and it's one of those things that it's one of those topics that next to sex and politics, people really don't want to talk about death and dying. And it's particularly hard. I've noticed when my dad passed away, or I've had friends who've had loved ones pass away, you're always at this kind of awkward sense of not knowing exactly what to say or what to do. And so our next guest, Sue Frederick, has written a beautiful book called Bridges to Heaven, and it introduces a whole new way of thinking about death so that it's less scary and more, I actually think of it in some ways, empowering. I don't even know if that's the right word to use, but that's how I feel about it. So welcome, Sue.
Hey, CJ. It's just a pleasure to be here with you.
So were you trying to change people's perceptions about death when you wrote this
book? Absolutely. I mean, I think that our culture has it all backwards, you know, that when we lose someone we love through death, it's defined as a tragedy or a random accident or something that's tragic and beyond our control. And yet once you've really stepped into feeling that connection from the other side, having your own communication with our departed, which we're actually all capable of, I write about that in my book, that then you know that they are in, they're doing awesome, and that they're looking in on us, trying to help us and guide us, and that it's not a tragedy. It was a soul choice, and it's a soul agreement between us and the departed that their exit wakes us up to a new dimension of who we are, why we're here, and how to do our great work.
Mm. All right, so I've always thought of that as, when my dad passed away, which was about 18 years ago, I always assumed it was something that he did. They're like, are you ready to go? You ready to go, David? And he's like, yeah, I think I'm ready to go. And then they're like, okay, we're taking you. Goodbye. You know, I assumed it was with his consent, and he knew.
Well,
is
actually,
that,
CJ, I think we actually make it that agreement before we come in for the lifetime. And this is what I've been told through my experiences of connecting to departed on the other side and through my own spiritual journey of exploration. I've really learned that we create a soul map for the lifetime, and it has our great soul mission in it. It has all of our significant relationship agreements in it, and it has, you know, when our exit point is. Although I'll even add that we often get two or three choice points of exiting in the lifetime, and we'll come upon one and decide, you know, am I done? Am I ready to go? And we can say no, but eventually we have to pick the choice point of exit and exit, and that's already been mapped out on our soul map before we come in.
Interesting. So that those two choice, and most of the times, is it just one choice point or two choice points are like, well, you have an option. You have an option to live.
Well, for example, I know of a woman I've worked with who lost her young son to a sudden illness, and that's a tragedy that every mother dreads and just can't imagine would be horrible. And she, he actually got the flu and had a complication from the flu, and he was 7 years old, and she found him not breathing in his bed. And again, this is what every human being fears, is losing a child, and especially losing a child like that. And she began to have her own experiences of hearing from her son on the other side. And one of the things he said to her was that it was the agreement they made before the lifetime began that he was going to break her heart wide open because he loved her so much, and force her to get out in the world doing her true work, which actually now she works similar to me, doing counseling and mediumship and helping people connect to their loved ones on the other side. And that was their agreement, and yet he had two other points before when he had tried to leave her when he was younger and couldn't, and he said that to her. He said, I tried to leave two other times, and I loved you too much, and I couldn't do it, and I had to take the third exit. And this mom went back and thought about it, and she knew of two other moments when he had had a medical crisis in his young life where she thought he was going to die. Mm-hmm. And the third time, you know, he took the exit. Now, that's not how we look at death here, and that's against everything that our culture believes about it. Mm-hmm. But if we can begin to explore those ideas and even try to have connection with the people on the other side, we can begin to change how we look at death.
Mm. Now, in that particular case, this little boy left because he had his mom had a soul mission, and that he wanted her to fulfill her soul mission.
Right.
Is it because that little boy fulfilled his soul mission, or was his soul mission to fulfill her soul mission?
No, absolutely. We don't exit a lifetime until we've fulfilled what we came to do. And we may just be coming in for this one little piece of growth here, or we may be coming in for a long lifetime of soul evolution. And I know, for example, that, you know, I'm in my 60s and I feel like I'm so glad I didn't exit when I was younger, because it seems like I've learned most of the important things for my soul's growth later in my life. And I know that we pick a lifetime that's going to bring to us the lessons that we need for our soul to evolve.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that's what happens, is that we are kind of picking the lessons. Like it's already been kind of preordained. We signed a contract. We've said, here's our soul mission. Here are the relationships. And here's maybe one or two, or maybe just one exit point. And then that's how our soul mission is related to all of that.
Yep. And, yep. You know, whenever you're here grieving, and I'm just speaking to the people who my heart goes out to who have lost someone they've loved, and I hope they'll read my book, because I have many people's stories in there of grieving and losing someone they love. I just want you to know that this moment of your greatest pain is also your moment of greatest awakening. And if you can begin to help yourself begin to move through some of that grieving and pain and explore some new ways of looking at it, you may find your greatest lifetime adventure. You may find what you're really here for and how to step up to it.
It's hard to see that at the time. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I remember in the crisis of my dad's
stuck
death.
We can get stuck in our grief and our anger and our pain for quite a long time, and it's perfectly okay, but we just can't waste the entire lifetime with being wallowing in our pain. And also, you know, our loved ones on the other side are trying to comfort us because they see us grieving, and in a way our pain blocks them from being able to comfort us and reach through to us. It creates a gray energy around us here on Earth when we're grieving, and it prevents them from being able to give us a message or whisper into our ear or give us a really firm, acknowledgement that they're with us. So the less we can spend time in that deep grief, the more we can begin to feel them around us.
Right. And you're saying, so when we're in pain, we kind of put in an unexpected kind of connection problem, so they can't hear us as well.
Yeah,
exactly. Or we can't
hear them. I remember one time my husband died when I was 29, and I was very angry at the world that, you know, my beautiful young mountaineering husband had died of cancer and suffered so much, and I was going through a big spiritual crisis, as most people do when they lose someone they love. And I remember this very evolved teacher came up to me and was talking to me about it, and he said, you have a lot of gray energy around your aura, and it comes from the way you're thinking about this grief. And you have to do your meditation and your work to clear that aura so that Paul, your husband, can speak to you. And I thought he was crazy at the time. And then as I really worked on my spiritual life and my meditation and began to remove some of that heavy energy around me, my physical appearance changed. I looked brighter, happier, healthier. My emotional spirit definitely felt better, and I began to see a reason to live and move forward, and immediately could hear Paul telling me things and showing me things and giving me signs.
Wow, that's powerful. So in your case, where, you know, your husband was an unexpected death, and the little boy who, you know, the mom woke up horrified to find him having, you know, not breathing. I mean, why does pain have to be part of it? I mean, I guess in that case you're saying the pain of his death so young was so that she could open up her heart. But is that why these kind of mysterious, unexpected, super painful, awful experiences, traumatic experiences happen that way?
Well, there's two questions in there, I think. And one question is, why do we suffer? You know, why do people have to suffer here on Earth? And what I'll say to that is that we don't have to suffer, but suffering is how we learn best. And it's just one of those unfortunate things about being human down here, that nothing really gets our attention until we are brokenhearted and we've lost something or someone we love. Then we're willing to come out of the details of physical life and start saying, wait a minute, who am I? Why am I here? Why did this happen? And where did my loved one go? Those are the important questions of evolving when you're here in a body in the physical world. And we'll just be happy, CJ, going about our day, having a great latte, having fun, until we hit a moment of reinvention with that kind of pain, and that's what gets us learning and growing. However, the other question I think is in there is, why would anyone, like a beautiful young child, have to suffer, okay? That's the question that rips people's hearts out. And the way I want them to consider thinking of that is, some souls may choose a path of suffering because they feel that they aren't worthy of God, or like they have a negative part of them that needs to be cleansed for some reason. And that's not true. Like, we don't have to cleanse ourselves to connect with God or purify ourselves, but some souls believe that the way to do that is through physical suffering. I mean, we have great role models of that in all of our religions, you know, Jesus on the crucifix and all of that. So people, in fact, Paul told me after he died in one of his connections with me, he said that he was sorry that he put me through his path of suffering, and that he realizes now from the other side he could have learned those lessons in a different way. And yet he and I both went through that and chose to go through it.
Interesting. So it's a suffering on both sides, suffering from his perspective so that he could learn the greatest before he passed, and suffering from your perspective. I mean, it's very interesting.
If somebody is caring for somebody they love who's sick, they're going through the suffering just as much as their loved one is, because there's almost no worse pain than watching someone you love suffer and being unable to stop it.
Yep, and we have to take a break, so we'll be right back talking about how the dead communicate to us. We'll be right back.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
On CBS Radio's The Sky.
Welcome back to Fired Up with CJ. Today we're talking to intuitive Sue Frederick about her new book, Bridges to Heaven. I'm Cassandra, and I'm here with you today. You can find CJ, this show, and more shows like it on her website, firedupwithcj.com. And you can also go to her Facebook and keep in touch with her there, and that's also under Fired Up with CJ. And right now I'm going to go right back to CJ and Sue.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. We have to share with you some fun things that have been happening in the studio. So this segment, we're going to be talking about how the dead communicate their signals of their presence.
Perfect.
All right, so I'm not sure if in the first segment you heard this, but both Cassandra and I could hear music playing in the background. And I said to Cassandra, is there music playing in the background? She's like, we can't find any news feed. And she's going back probably right now, going to check with her engineer if there's an additional song track being played.
Well, I love that story, CJ. I love that, because that's exactly how they communicate. They mess with electronics. For some reason, spirits can mess with computers, TVs, phones, and electronics, you know, pretty easily from the other side. And they'll often get music going that gives us a message or a memory, and people will always talk about, you know, driving to a funeral and they put on the radio and it's the song that they had shared with their loved one.
It's so fascinating. And, you know, I actually had a similar situation when my dad died. I said, please, and I was about to walk in to give his eulogy, and I was just sitting on the curb outside looking at a tree, and I said, please, Dad, if you're here, just give me some kind of signal. It would give me a lot of strength and fortitude before I get in there. Because, you know, each time I was talking about him, I would just be bawling my eyes out. I couldn't even keep it together.
Right.
And he said, please just be with me and give me a signal that you're here. And right as I said that, these two crows came down, and they're like, oh, oh. And I thought, oh.
And crows are long revered in spiritual tradition as messengers, you know. So I think that's an awesome sign. And in my book, I talk about, I have a lot of stories in there from other people about, you know, finding things in nature, like a woman whose mother would always collect arrowheads, and yet whenever she went hiking with her mother, she could never find the arrowheads, only her mother could. And right after her mother died, she went for a hike, and she was walking up a path, and right in the middle of the path, in the middle of nowhere, was the arrowhead, an arrowhead pointing at her, and she absolutely knew it was from her mom.
Oh, that's so sweet. That's so sweet. You know, and I've had now, how does that happen? Like, so my mom's brother died, and he had bought her a tin of tea that she had had on a shelf in her living room that was, you know, on a shelf. It was completely flat. It wasn't like a round bin of tea. It was a straight metal bin of tea. And when she went out to her living room, and the tea, the whole tin had been on the ground and tipped over.
Yeah.
So well, the dead can move things too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, it's not like a movie, you know? I mean, it's much more that they can move energy, and so by moving energy, they can make things, you know, topple over or something. But it takes a lot of effort for them. So in other words, if you're blessed with a sign like that from a loved one on the other side, you got to know that they've had to lower their frequency and really push the energy so hard to make it move down in this physical world. In fact, I've had a lot of departed loved ones show up in front of me, like materialize for just a brief few seconds, and that takes tremendous energy on their part. And if it didn't take tremendous energy on their part, then we would see that happen all the time. But here's the way to think of it. The higher realms that they're in have a very high energy frequency, very high energy vibration. We're down here in the dense physical realm that has a very low vibration. So we have to shift our energy to a higher frequency, meaning pull out of our grief, pain, and sadness, you know, raise our own energy, and they have to lower their energy to a slower vibration so that we can meet and connect.
Interesting. Okay, so here's one thing that has always been mysterious to me that I cannot figure out. So my dad was communicating to me after he had passed, and he actually would, like, in the middle of the night, my husband and I would have our light go on, and we're like, what, how did that light turn on? And then
how it turned on.
Now I know, because, well, if he has a higher vibration, he probably could easily, you know, through electricity, that probably would be his mode of ideal mode of communicating.
Exactly.
So that, and then what happened was we actually unplugged the light because we're like, okay, you know, this is freaking us out. And then the light went on again.
I love that story. Let me tell you a story about what Paul did to show me his love. Paul died in July of 1979, and I was grieving, and then Valentine's came along in 1980, my first Valentine's without him, and I was just kind of staying home, making it a normal day, trying to avoid the fact that it was Valentine's. And I was digging in a filing cabinet looking for some tax papers to start doing my taxes when I opened a file and in it found a chocolate heart with a ribbon and a card that said, "Happy Valentine's Day, you're the love of my life." And I just was fell off the floor. Couldn't, I mean, leave it. I started crying, going, how did this get here, and how did I find it today, of all days?
Oh, my God.
And I remembered that a year ago, Paul, on Valentine's Day, was sick, and he had said, oh, I bought you something, and I can't remember where I put it, and he was frustrated at the time about that. And divine order and Paul had arranged it so that I would find that Valentine exactly on my first Valentine day away from him.
Oh, that's so sweet. You know, and it's funny because one of I'm not a medium, but I've talked to others, and they say that when the dead is present, you can feel a chill. And I am freezing right now. I'm getting chills all over. Is that one of the signals too? Is that what you find too? It's like
also means that CJ, your way of connecting is clear. You're a clairsentient, meaning you feel it in your body.
Oh, okay, interesting. Okay,
and we each have ways that are ways that we more strongly feel it. So, for example, I'll hear words and voices, and I'll also see images, and that's, you know, clairaudient and clairvisual, but we all have all of those senses. We just have to develop them and really be able to work with them more to open them up, and then we can use all of those senses to connect to the other side.
So what's the best way to respond when we get a signal, and what do you think they're trying to communicate to us?
Well, first of all, we need to say, thank you, I appreciate it, I got it, rather than be freaked out by it.
Cut it out! Freaking me out!
And especially not to be scared. I mean, if you react in fear, then your loved one is going to go, well, I guess they're not ready, you know, and your loved one will sort of back off and not send you any signs for a while. I had to learn that in my dreams, when my departed would come to me so clearly in my dreams, that I needed to wake up and not be scared. I needed to be grateful and learning the message, learning the lesson of the dream, because my fear was sort of getting in the way. Mm. And when you wake up and see a dead person standing by your bed, but you're not fully awake, you're coming into consciousness, and there's your dead person standing right by the bed.
Right.
The first response is fear, and then you have to kind of work through that, you know?
Okay. I totally get that. All right, we have we're talking about our books, Bridges to Heaven. In the next segment, we're going to be talking more about communicating with the dead and what Sue has found through communicating with lots of people who have passed to the other side. We'll be right back.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And Fire It Up with CJ. Log on fireitupwithcj.com and call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
On CBS Radio's The Sky. Sky.
Welcome back. This is Fire It Up with CJ, and today we have the founder of the Grief Institute Coaching Institute, Sue Frederick, and she's talking about her book, Bridges to Heaven. I'm Cassandra, and I'm here with you from CBS Sky Radio. You can find CJ on her website. It is fireitupwithcj.com. You can get shows like this one and past shows on her website. You can also download them on New Sky Radio. Both are free. And you can also, a third way, if you're looking to get a past show, iTunes. And it's all free, whatever you can do. You can also find CJ on Facebook, and that's also Fired Up with CJ. And I'm going to
return. I'm everywhere.
And everywhere. If I went into, we are so many places right now, it's great. It's great. CBS Radio, we have so many different ways. I even listen to it on my smartphone. I have the app downloaded, and I can take it with me and hook it into my little space car, and I can hear New Sky Radio in my car.
It's a beautiful thing, technology.
It is in some ways, and I really think that that's great because we find stations we like, but if we live in one area, we may not get it all the time. So you can take us with you wherever you go.
And here's what I love. The spirits found a way of taking all this technology and communicating to us. We found out that the soundtrack that you were hearing was gospel music from a different AM station nearby. How cool is that? Okay, so you've just got to tell us, who was that? Like, could you have a sense of who's trying to communicate to us and what they're trying to say to us?
Well, it's somebody from who's older, probably your dad or perhaps Cassandra's dad, who has a great sense of humor and also grew up in church and in religion.
Well, that's not my dad. That must be your dad, Cassandra. Does your dad grow up with religion?
No, but he was religious. Like, he had his faith, but he didn't practice by going to any one church. But he did have his faith, and he loves a practical joke. And knowing how funny you are, CJ, I'm sure your dad was a practical joker, too.
He was.
Well, I have to say, my dad was a great practical joker, and he had a huge sense of humor, so he could also be there messing with things.
All three of our dads are laughing their heads off as they're kind of like, I know, let's play that gospel music. It's close enough.
CJ, what? Yeah. I was just going to say, when my dad died, one of the first things he did was come into my house after he had died and play a few notes on the piano, because he had always loved the piano.
Oh, that's sweet.
So I woke up in the middle of the night to hear a few notes on the piano being played, and there was nobody in the house that could have done it.
Mm. And going back to what you said before, whether he's like, you know, showing up in spirit form right at your bedside or playing the piano, it'd be so easy to get freaked out about this whole thing.
Right.
Instead of saying, oh, hi, I'm ready. Thanks for communicating. Thanks for that song. Because think about how hard that was to press those keys.
Now, what I tell anybody to do is when you feel a communication like that, try to just stand there and say, okay, who is it? Let me know who you are and how I can help you, and just sort of be open.
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Do you think they want to be helped, or do you think, like, how can
I help? No, they're trying to help us. They cross over, they go through a soul review where they see their whole lifetime, all the choices they made, the choices they could have made, the way they loved people, the way they could have loved them better, all of that, and they process it and really learn a tremendous amount and evolve so that once they've crossed over and gone through that, they look down at our physical life now. And even if they're moving to the higher realms or reincarnating, it doesn't matter because time and space is not linear the way we try to think of it. Mm-hmm. So they still come back to guide us.
Okay.
We're part of their soul posse.
Okay, so my grandma, who I didn't really have a very close relationship, has several times tried to communicate with me. And I think I wouldn't really accept messages from her when she was living. Mm-hmm.
She's in a very different place now, CJ, and she's learned a lot on the other mm-hmm. side. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think what she's trying to tell you in her own way is to tell you that she thinks you're amazing and she wants you to shine and just really not in any way hold back because she feels like she didn't support you that way when she was here.
Interesting. Are you getting that from her right now?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay, yeah. Well, she told me things like wear red nail polish. And I thought, okay, what am I supposed to do with that?
You know, there's one thing about taking it literally, and there's another way of kind of seeing if it's a metaphor, a symbol for how she's trying to give us a message.
Oh.
And sometimes we get a very literal thing. It could really mean she's just telling you to be bold, you know, to get out in the world and shine your light and be who you are.
I see. So sometimes the kind of message you would have given me when she was alive, and I wasn't really a girly girl, so this is a continued message of making me feel bad about not being a girly girl versus a metaphor.
That's not. In other words, when they cross over, they see the harm they did in relationships here, and mm-hmm. they are trying to kind of fix that and heal that from the other side.
Oh, interesting. Well, that actually changes my relationship to receiving her information.
Yeah.
I'm always like, what do you want me now? Like, blow dry my hair? What else?
Right.
Makeup? Like, what do you want?
Here's the thing you have to realize is that even I've worked with clients in my sessions where they even had perhaps an abusive father, and I'm talking about a father who did physical abuse or sexual abuse, and they don't want anything to do with that father on the other side. And yet when we connect to them, to the Father's energy, they are begging for forgiveness, they're filled with love, and they are trying to give a message that they see what they did wrong. And it's just so powerful when you experience that. There's great healing for the person here on Earth.
What happens when you communicate, because I have some friends who are mediums like yourself, and they've communicated, and they've got information that's just downright scary. Like they find a little girl, she's showing a bunch of, you know, dead kids buried under a church in the South. Like what to do with that information when you get...
Well, I don't believe in psychics, CJ. I'm an intuitive, and I think that there are many harmful people out there who come up with images that are fear-based and their energy is low and they're traveling in the low astral realms to get their information. You know, I come from a 30-year spiritual practice journey. I've lived in ashrams. I've meditated for more than 30 years every day. I bring a spiritual perspective to how we navigate the other realms, and you don't want to get your information from the lowest realms on the other side. And some psychics do. And if you ever go see a psychic who makes you feel afraid or scared, walk out the door because they're functioning in low energy and low level psychic garbage.
Right. They're not necessarily going. And I just took a class on shamanism this weekend, and they were talking about lower, middle, and upper realms, and that
right.
the lower and upper realms are completely filled with compassionate beings.
Exactly.
So you're saying that if they're communicating to you, it would never feel scary. It would feel loving.
And if you do feel a spirit come to you that makes you feel afraid, then you either say, you can do a number of things. You can say a mantra, like I use the mantra Om Namah Shivaya, that clears the air and raises the energy, and they can't live in that. Or you can say the Lord's Prayer if you believe in the Christian tradition. That's another high-frequency prayer that raises energy. Or you can say something like, I open my heart and love you and start pouring love out instead of fear, because dark energy cannot exist in love. It disintegrates. Your love is the greatest power inside of you, and fear is your greatest weakness.
Mm. What do you think they want from us? Why do these lower energies, let's say that this person did in fact hit a lower entity or a lower energy,
right.
Is it because she wasn't vibrating at a high enough energy? I mean, if the shamanism would say you didn't go to the right level.
Well, here's the thing, though. Think of it this way, CJ. When people are living a very negative, irresponsible life on the physical world, they're hurting people, killing people, whatever, they don't believe in God or anything beyond the physical world, when they cross over, they're still carrying that, thinking, oh, there's nothing here, I'm just going to suffer. If there's anything, it should be hell because I deserve hell. They're having a lower consciousness that they're bringing into that other realm. But the minute that, and so they're stuck in that lower realm, but the minute that soul calls out for love or to God or any sort of opening where they go, God, help me or bring me to the light, they are instantly brought to a higher level. But they're so used to living in fear and darkness that they feel comfortable when they get into that dark realm on the other side.
Oh, interesting. Okay, got it. So that's why, so what she was really doing is communicating with someone at that level. Is it because she, and I guess I could, I mean, when we're communicating with the dead, how do we know if our loved one is in that lower, living in fear and darkness, or actually in a higher realm?
Well, first of all, you're going to feel by the vibration if your loved one is in a dark place, and all you have to do is talk to them and say, you know, I'm sending you love, just move to the light, I love you, and it's that simple, and they start going into a higher realm. We are still connected to them energetically. We can help them. They can help us. But the thing is, you know, it's as long as you are living a life that is in consciousness, that is in light, that is not in darkness, fear, and negativity, you're not going to attract those lost souls.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. That's interesting, too. Okay. Gosh, I could talk to you for hours on this. So thank you, Sue Frederick, talking about her book, Bridges to Heaven. Up next, we're going to be continue talking about her book. We'll be right back.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
Believe. On CBS Radio's The Sky. The Sky.
Welcome back to CBS Sky Radio. This is Fired Up with CJ. Our guest today is Sue Frederick, author of Bridges to Heaven. And this is our final segment of the day, so I'm going to go right back to Sue and CJ.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. So we've been talking about communicating with those that have passed on. And we were talking about, you know, what are the things that they're trying to, what are the people who pass on trying to do? And Sue had mentioned, you know, sometimes they're trying to make amends. And so I wanted to ask her commonly, what are the general things that they want to communicate to us?
Well, all of our loved ones want to help us recover from grieving, and that's a huge part of it. So, for example, especially children, when they cross over, they come immediately to comfort their mothers and their fathers, their siblings. And I've worked with many grieving mothers, and they tell me these amazing stories of, you know, the first night after the child's death, this mother went into his bedroom, into his bed, was laying there crying hysterically, and all of a sudden a mobile hanging from the ceiling started moving frantically, even though there was no window open, no vent on, and she just looked at it and went, "Oh, you're here," and started to feel her son's presence comforting her.
So, but that, even though you said that in the very beginning that she may have had gray energy around her, the mobile was still able to work and...
Yes, I mean, you know, not that he was able to materialize there for her, you know,
right.
Or whisper
yeah.
in her ear, but was
yeah.
able to sort of move something to get her attention, to show her that there was a presence there.
Yeah, God, interesting. All right. So we had, during the break, you said that they sometimes communicate in our dreams. And I've had that happen where my dad's in my dreams, but he's not saying anything. So I'm like trying to talk to him.
They aren't going to materialize and have a conversation with you the way we have it here on physical, in the physical world. They'll come to you in a dream. They'll travel somewhere with you, but really they're just trying to make you comfortable in the dream. They'll show up in a car with you or in a house that you're familiar with to make you comfortable. And then they're transmitting an energy or a message to you without words. And the way you feel when you wake up is where you get the message. In other words, do you wake up feeling comforted? Do you wake up feeling like you have a new idea for your job? Or do you wake up feeling that you now have a problem solved that you've been thinking about? That's how they're helping you.
So that's how we know. Like, my dad appeared in my dream. I'm not sure what's happening, but I wake up in the morning and I either have an insight or something. So something was happening beyond our conscious understanding, but it is happening.
Yeah. I mean, our linear left brain mind wants us to have an everyday kind of Hollywood conversation with our departed. But it's not like that. It's an intuitive connection. It's a knowingness. Mm-hmm. And they're giving us the message. And the way we feel is the message.
Yeah, it's interesting. So in some ways what they're doing is they're working with our deep unconscious. Like, we may not even know what they're doing. They're doing something.
Exactly.
Fascinating. Okay, so folks, during after we actually get off on the radio, Sue and I are going to be going through an exercise that she has in books. I thought it would be really fun to do live. So we're going to be doing a YouTube video. So if you go to the Fired Up CJ page on YouTube, we're going to do Reconnecting to Your Departed. And so that you can kind of get, one, to actually be in the presence of Sue's energy, which is beautiful and fun. So you can kind of see her live and experience that, as well as we'll walk you through the Reconnect Your Departed. But tell us a little bit about that before we close the show.
Yeah, it's so powerful and yet so easy, CJ. I teach it in all of my workshops and my classes, and it's written in my book. It's a simple meditation that anyone can do that gets them connected to their loved ones and downloads guidance from them. So I've never had a client or a student unable to do this. So I hope people will tune in and watch it and learn how to do it.
And then there's also one in your book. So in Bridges to Heaven, there are all these wonderful exercises. There's also one on feeling and releasing pain, which I think is also important because, and in some ways, you have to do that step before you do step two.
Yeah, in other words, when we're in heavy anguish, grief, blame, anger, guilt, all that grief stuff, our energy is low frequency. So one of the first steps we have to take is, I have this Break Your Heart Wide Open meditation in my book, where you sit and you feel the pain in your heart. You can quiet your mind with mantra or prayer, and then feel the pain in your heart and put your palm face up in front of your heart chakra. Ask to have the pain pour from your essence into your palm of your hand and cry it out if you need to, and then move your hand away from you and up and say, I'll offer this pain to the divine to be transformed into love. If you just spend a few seconds doing that, you're going to feel a lift of your energy, a release of some of that pain.
Beautiful. Okay, so we'll try to maybe is that something that is a pretty – how long does this usually take to do step one and step two so that people have a sense of what the process is?
Well, when I do them in real life in a real workshop, you know, it can take – it'll take us a half an hour to get through it. But on YouTube, I'll do a shortened version where we're just doing it for a few minutes.
Right, so folks can actually listen to it, pause, you know, do their meditation or do their releasing, then turn the video back on and go so that it's kind of...
I'll guide them through it.
Okay, wonderful. So thank you so much, Sue. And folks, make sure to go over to our YouTube channel, Fire It Up with CJ, and you'll be able to see Sue's both these two exercises that we'll do. And it won't be the half-hour version, but it'll be a short version so you'll understand the steps in the process and so that you can kind of release some of the pain that you're feeling and also to start connecting with your loved ones. Thanks so much for being here. Thank you, spirits. Thank you.
Well, thank you, and thank you so much for
gospel
supporting
music.
My work, CJ. I love talking to you.
It's always a pleasure and fun talking to you. And, folks, make sure to listen next week to Susan Goff and Susan DeLand, who are the co-authors of Spectacular Bond, Reaching the Child with Autism. Thank you so much, Cassandra. You've been fantastic.
I'm so sorry.
It's been fantastic. I actually think it's wonderful. I don't know on the air if you guys will hear this, but there's been gospel music actually, and the sound has been getting louder and louder progressively.
Loud there for a minute. When you guys were talking about your dad, in your dream standing next to you, it got really loud. I jumped up. I'm like pressing buttons everywhere, hoping I didn't drop anyone.
CJ, it has to be your dad.
All right, ladies.
Well, I think it's your dad. All right, everyone. Have a wonderful weekend.